Welcome, dear listeners, to Aligned Expressions. I am your host, Sherry Stein, and I'm thrilled to embark on this transformative journey with each and every one of you. As a seasoned color design psychologist, aromatherapy specialist, feng shui practitioner, therapeutic yoga teacher, and Ayurveda lifestyle enthusiast, I've dedicated my life to helping others achieve balance and well-being. Through my brand, SBW Aligned Expressions, I offer mentoring services to those seeking a holistic and wellness-centered approach to living their best lives. This podcast is an extension of that commitment, a space to delve into the profound intersections of color, yoga, Ayurveda, feng shui, and design psychology. In each episode, I have the privilege of sitting down with some incredible wellness professionals from diverse backgrounds and experiences. Together, we explore the powerful impact of color on our emotions, the healing properties of yoga and Ayurveda, and the ways in which design psychology can shape our environments for optimal well-being. I am not just here to inform, but to inspire. Aligned Expressions is a platform for meaningful conversations that illuminate the path to a more harmonious and balanced life. I invite you to join me on this enriching journey as we uncover the secrets to holistic living and well-being. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of the Aligned Expressions community. Together, let's explore the profound beauty and wisdom that emerges when we align our expressions with the essence of holistic well-being and welcoming to our journey into wellness. Welcome to Aligned Expressions podcast. Today, we're diving into the fascinating world of Vastu, Transcendental Home Design, with our special guest, Dr. Sherry Silverman. Sherry, spelled with an I, is the founder of Transcendence Design, a renowned Vastu conscious design consultant and visual artist. For nearly 25 years, Sherry has been working with clients in both the USA and internationally, guiding them through the principles of Vastu for creating harmonious living spaces. She is the author of the acclaimed book, Vastu, Transcendental Home Design in Harmony with Nature, which serves as a comprehensive guide to incorporating Vastu principles into home design. Not only does Sherry offer Vastu consultations, but she also provides a certified Vastu consultant training program, spiritually based abundance courses and art specifically crafted for sacred spaces. She sounds a lot like me. What sets Sherry apart is her extensive background in meditation and spiritual practices, which she has been dedicated to since 1972. She's taught meditation, yoga, and spiritual development courses for decades, having studied directly with luminaries like Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. If you're curious about how to bring balance and harmony into your living spaces through Vastu principles, Sherry is the expert to turn to. You can find her book at a link provided in the show notes. So now let's bring on Sherry to talk a little bit about this Vastu and how it works in your home interior. Well, thank you, my listeners, for joining us again today. And I have Sherry on the podcast, and I just want to welcome you, Sherry, to Aligned Expressions. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great and so delighted and honored to be here. Thank you, Sherry.
Well, I am just so honored to be here with you and for you to join us today. And this is a topic I've been curious about for quite a long time. And I wanted to first ask you for our listeners to provide just a brief overview of VAST2, the fundamental principles, and how you came into this work.
That can take a really interesting answer because I started meditating in 1972 and became a meditation teacher in 1974. Then I ended up being on a Vedic studies doctoral program in Europe with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. There were a lot of things we learned there, and he taught us some of the principles of Vastu that I didn't even know was Vastu because he didn't label them at that time. And one of them was to always keep our rooms clean and tidy so that we could welcome the divine into the space. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that just sounded like a wonderful concept. And I thought, oh, if it welcomes the divine in the space, if the energy is clean and tidy, then what would be attracted if it were not, if it were the opposite? And I thought, oh, there's a lot to this. And then he told us with our desks to have some expansiveness in front of us, not to have our desks smack up against a wall where our face is really close to the wall, that it would restrict our creativity.
Ooh.
And again, I thought, oh, this is really interesting. That's how I originally heard some of these basic principles. And I'd always been interested in homes and beauty. Then somehow it just kind of fell away. I didn't really put much attention on it for a couple of decades. And then when I was years later, went back to work on a different doctoral program, I was researching sacred space, sacred architecture, Asian approaches to art, and I ran across Vastu again. I also, at that time, had a friend who decided for my birthday present that she was going to feng shui my apartment. So she sent me a drawing. She had me send her a drawing, and then she made notes, and I made these corrections, and I could feel that it really improved the energy in the space. Mm. But then I started looking more at Vastu because I had been doing yoga and meditation since I was 21 and was teaching it. It only made sense to look into that, but there was very, very little information available in the West at the time. Most of what I found was on the internet, and most of the books and articles seem like superstition wrapped around feng shui recycled. It didn't sound authentic.
Yeah.
And so this was really troubling because I needed real information. But I remember that Maharishi had told me back in the mid 70s when I was on that Vedic studies program, that we would know where the mistakes were in Vedic and Sanskrit translations. And he'd never explained that, but I thought, well, it must be because our intuition will be growing and things just will not feel right.
Mm-hmm.
So I started boldly researching and finding books. The one I found that made the most sense was by Dr. V. Ganapati Stapati, who was a wonderful Vastu architect from India that I was honored to study with some. I found the good information and I started implementing it, and it was really wonderful. But most of the books I would get, I would be X-ing through lots of sections because they just were wrong. They felt wrong. They looked wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I was finding the good information. And then I got asked to give a talk on Vastu at the Denver Art Museum. And when I gave the lecture, I was invited by their Asian Art Association. And when I gave the lecture, people were asking what books they could read. And there really wasn't anything at the time that I could refer them to that I felt good about. And so someone in the audience said, you need to write a book. That's how my book, Vastu, Transcendental Home Design in Harmony with Nature, came into being. Because I was told, there needs to be your book. So I kept researching and this book came into being. And I was living in Boulder at the time, and a friend asked me if I could give her help with her home. and that she wanted a relationship and she wanted her business to pick up. She was an Ayurvedic doula at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, and mama and baby care, wonderful person. So we went through the house and we moved this and that and changed this and that. The next day, there were literally three guys at the door who were interested in going out with her.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were like, oh. And then her clients would come in and they'd say, oh, feels so good in here. What did you do? We were thinking, wow, this is really nice. And then I went to spend the night with a friend in Denver. And we went to theater and out to dinner and came home. I'm making a beeline for the bedroom because it's way past my 10 o'clock bedtime. And she said, would you mind looking at my bedroom before you go to sleep? Because you help Martha so much. So I went in and, you know, this and that and this and that, and then went to sleep. And the next morning she comes running in and she says, I did what you said. And you're right. That tree was much happier when I moved it. And you're really good at this and you should be doing this. And I was like, oh, so I started. And the first person I did a consult for said, oh, I've had my house feng shuied in Vastu like 6 times, but go ahead and do it. And she said that no one had ever been that thorough and no one had ever explained the reasons to do certain things. Mm. She had asked me how much I charged and I'd never charged. So I said $100, not realizing she had a 5,000 square foot house on 3 levels.
Oh my God.
You know, you learn these things.
As you go along.
Yeah. Exactly. So she took me out to lunch too. But that's what got me to start being a Vastu consultant. And since then, I've helped thousands of people all over the world.
That's amazing.
So that's how I got into it. And I just love it because as an artist, spaces are really important to me. And I really love having a beautiful home. And I'm always looking for ways to improve my life. So Vastu is based on the laws of nature.
Mm-hmm.
If your guidelines are the laws of nature and you're getting more in alignment with the laws of nature, you're going to have really good results. So that is how it came into being.
Wow. So for my listener who may not be familiar with the term Vedic, can you explain what Vedic is?
Sure. Vedic, V as in Victor, E, D as in dog, I, C. Vedic refers to Veda, which is knowledge, but not knowledge of 2 + 2 = 4. And if you push the door this way, it'll open. And if you pull on it, it won't. It's not that kind of knowledge. It has to do with really fundamental knowledge that is how the universe is functions. And how you as an individual can grow and unfold into your full potential. So it's that wonderful world wisdom tradition that developed in what today we call India. And this was thousands and thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of my listeners are familiar with feng shui, which is something that I have studied, which is the ancient Chinese tradition. How does that Vastu compare with feng shui? And are there any key differences between the two?
That's a really good question, and one I think many of your listeners are probably interested in. Feng shui, almost everyone on the planet has heard of at this point. There were a gazillion books published and courses and so forth. Vastu is not nearly as well known, but I prefer it because my feeling is that when you put your attention on something that's 100% in alignment with the laws of nature, then it's going to have so much more powerful an effect in your life, because whatever you put your attention on grows stronger in your life and it has an effect. Your attention has an effect. Feng shui has a different basis and founding. Vastu was something that was cognized by what we call a seer, someone who was able to perceive truth just in the vibrations of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened with a wonderful, intelligent man named Mayan, who we think of was probably around 10,000 to 14,000 years ago. he was able to cognize these laws of nature and codify it and start traveling around teaching it. Basically, it was originally just for building. Because if you had the knowledge, you would not build any other way. Today, there's a lack of knowledge and things are built with attention to how much money it will make the builder, how little it'll cost the person who's commissioning it, how many homes you can cram into an area, things like that, but not really the laws of nature and what's going to most benefit the occupants. Feng shui, on the other hand, my understanding is that feng shui is based upon, first of all, geomancy, that ancient tradition in China, having to do with landforms, and also their strong tradition of ancestor worship, so that there was already a tradition of citing the graves of your ancestors in such a way that it would give you the most benefit as the living descendants.
Right.
So those were indigenous traditions, native local traditions in China. And then back in India, there was an Emperor Ashoka who was part of a great imperialistic dynasty where they were always conquering more territory. And after the story is that after one big battle, he noticed the devastation and he got the point of how wrong war is. And he became Buddhist and started promoting peace and also sent teams trained in all of India's wisdom traditions all over South, Southeast, and East Asia. So you can think of this like people flying in to teach a one-day seminar and then flying out. And you're writing down everything you can think of in the seminar, but it's really intense and your mind drifts off and you miss a point and maybe you fall asleep later and then they don't have enough time for questions and then they fly away and you have no way to contact them. So what you got was some good knowledge and some that's distorted and some that you got mistakenly, what you didn't really understand the point. And so that combined with the geomancy and the ancestor worship sighting of graves and gave rise to feng shui, which, as you know, as a student of feng shui, has many, many schools and approaches today.
Yeah.
So that's my understanding of how the two were founded. And then, of course, there's other Asian systems of design and sacred space like wabi-sabi and wu-wei as well. But what we're most interested in are vastu, which is the yoga of design, and feng shui. And basically, feng shui is, first of all, a younger thing. And for both of them, the intention is to enable beneficial results in life. Right. And the healthy, unobstructed flow of qi or universal life energy within a space. In Vastu, we use Sanskrit words. Sanskrit's very likely the oldest language on the planet. So instead of qi, that sparkly life energy, the word prana is used. And in Japan, it's known as ki. But they're basically the same thing. You want a good flow of prana or qi in the space. They both have that intention to enable that the beneficial results in life and a smooth flow of life energy. My experience after careful study and research is that I vastly prefer Vastu. It's spiritually and scientifically based and universally applicable. It works with the subtle laws of nature that govern creation. So you align buildings with universal energies, which would be the five elements, which we'll go into more later, beneficial earth energies coming up, which are in a clockwise direction, and cosmic forces like the sun, the moon, the planets, which are always up there in the same place, even if it shifts a little bit with the season. So there's a bunch of overlaps and also major differences. Basically, some of them would be the fact that you want that good flow of prana. Another one is that both systems do not like heavy overhead ceiling beams.
Yeah.
Because these are oppressive and can actually give rise to disease. So that I thought was really interesting. And it's also really helpful because if people are familiar with feng shui, but not with Vastu, I can mention these things and they get the point. I remember one house in Santa Fe that I did a consult for, You know, in New Mexico, there's a lot of very heavy logs in the ceilings,
yes,
or the traditional style. And they are really oppressive, especially because in the older buildings, the ceilings were kind of low because it was easier to heat. So you would have these big ceiling beams really close to you. I'm really sensitive energetically, so I didn't like them anyway. And her ceiling was a reasonably good height in this house, but she had these vigas or ceiling beams over her bed. And I asked her how she slept, and she said, "Oh, I think I sleep well." But I said, "Why don't you just consider putting a canopy of some beautiful fabric that you love over the bed? You could even just put it up with push pins into the beams." She wrote me later that she did that, and it felt so soothing and protective. Yeah. And she noticed that she actually slept better.
It's amazing.
So that I found was really interesting, because that's something where feng shui and vastu agree. But there are a lot of differences. For example, the way the bagua is arranged, mm-hmm, in feng shui, I think the most commonly used system arranges the bagua by where you enter the building.
Right. The Western school or black hat Tibetan.
But that is not aligning with nature, right, because the West has particular vibrational influences. The East has particular vibrational influences, and those are not taken into account. So I highly prefer Vastu because of that.
Well, this has been so educational. I feel like I need to be writing notes here. But
you'll have to take my course.
Well, I will definitely do that. I'm just really fascinated. And right now I'm actually studying Vedic astrology and Jyotish, actually. I really feel from what you're describing that Vastu is all about. It just kind of brings in all of these things and Ayurveda and all of these ancient practices into view, and it makes so much sense. Now, in your book, you talk about the seven sources of prana, and that in Vastu, those are really what creates the energy within a space. And I was curious about that. I think it starts on page
38.
Yes. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that to my listener who may be really interested in what the sources of prana are as it relates to Vastu.
Certainly. Prana is something that we're all drawn to, even if we're not aware of Vastu.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the ocean and you breathe in that air and it feels so good and your whole body relaxes and your mind feels light and carefree because there's so much prana there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that going to the ocean really uplifts us because of that. And that shows you the effect of prana. Another way I've explained it sometimes is that if you go inside a building that has been completely closed up since it was constructed, none of the windows open, it's pre-COVID, so they did not have any fresh air intake.
Right.
And you go in there and you just feel heavy and sleepy, as opposed to a room where you can open a window and you have all that fresh air coming in. I think your listeners know that in the winter, when there's a warm day, it's always so wonderful to be able to fling all the windows open.
Oh, yeah, I
fresh
do.
Fresh air in the house.
Yeah.
So we know the effect of prana, how much better it makes us feel. So what I did is I listed out some examples, mm-hmm, of ways to increase prana in your home. One of them is fresh organic foods. I just saw an article online this morning that talked about the fact that processed foods give rise to 38 different diseases that they figured out so far. It was Washington Post or something like that.
We'll have to find that
this morning, which makes so much sense because they were mentioning things like, you know, frozen foods and potato chips and things like that that are ultra processed foods. It feels so much better and our bodies are so much happier if we're eating fresh food and food that's been raised the real way, organically, without insecticides and pesticides and artificial fertilizers that are poisons. So having that fresh organic food puts a lot more prana into you.
Yeah.
That's something straight out of Ayurveda. That's mm-hmm. what Ayurveda says to do.
That's right.
Another is your meditation practices. So I listed here meditation and healing breath techniques like Sudarshan Kriya, which is through Art of Living Foundation. They have this wonderful course that just fills the whole system with oxygen and prana. It's really incredible. Live plants and flowers in the house and gardens, all of these have that effect. I just got this beauty yesterday.
Oh, beautiful!
So that was a big treat to bring into the house.
Yeah.
And there are all these things, have you noticed? They're all uplifting. They all make you feel better.
Yes.
And they all have beauty with them because nature is beauty.
Yes.
And I just love that, especially being an artist. Beauty is really important to me. And we haven't really talked about the main guidelines of Vastu yet, but you can follow all the guidelines, but if there's no beauty, it's not fully Vastu. Beauty is a component of Vastu. Isn't that fabulous? It's yeah. so nourishing. Okay, another one I mentioned here is a source of prana, an open window in the Northwest. There are five elements, earth, air, fire, water, and space, or akasha. Each of those, when you start building any kind of built structure, house, whatever, each of those five elements clusters into an area in which it's predominant. So they go into the Northwest, the Northeast, the Southeast, the Southwest, and the center. And so I've mentioned here an open window in the Northwest because that's the area where air element is predominant. And so if you have, I mean, obviously any window being open is going to bring freshness and prana into the house. But what I was emphasizing here is that that's where air element is predominant. Water element is predominant in the Northeast. Now, if you go stand in the Northeast of your house, you're not going to feel like it's more humid. It's not going to feel wetter. But on a subtle level, there's more water elemental particles there than earth, air, fire, and space. Space element is predominant in the center of the structure or the center of each room.
Okay.
And so because of that, it's better to keep it unobstructed, no heavy objects, and no water bodies. So you can have an open courtyard to the sky, or you can have an open space without a furnace or a toilet or stairs in the very center of the home. But if those things are there, then they cause some negative vibrational influence.
I see.
My feeling is there's enough negative vibrational influences and stress in life as it is. Any that we can avert, it's just like an expression in Jyotish or Vedic astrology, to avert the danger that's not yet arisen. That's the purpose of Ayurveda, Jyotish, and for us, Vastu, is anything we can correct, we correct to get those obstacles out of our way.
Right.
And that happens when you're more in tune with nature. If you're in tune with nature, nature seems to rise up to support your desires and fulfillment. If you violated laws of nature, then you're going to be tripping over a lot of rocks. There's going to be a lot of obstructions.
Yeah.
And well, some of them are created because you just were ignorant of those laws of nature.
Well, I have a question. Since you are bringing up the directions, mm-hmm. how does one figure out the directions? Because in my feng shui head, I am thinking about walking outside my house, facing my house, and then, you know, with a floor plan, you know, figuring out the north side, the south side, if it's sitting on the north and facing the south and that kind of thing. But how does one figure out the directions for their home using the VAST2 approach.
So this is going to be very simple because you're going by True North.
Okay.
And you're going to use the same thing everywhere.
Okay.
And for the first many years, I ran around with a little compass in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got them on our phones.
Yeah, that is true.
So if you want to check, where's the northwest in my house? Do I have a window there? Where's the northeast? Could I put some water feature there to improve the flow of all good things? Mm-hmm. Then you can go on your phone and set it in settings for the compass being in True North, mm-hmm. and then use the compass on your phone.
Okay.
It's very helpful to make a drawing of your house and then to mark where the cardinal directions are.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you'll be able to see what's happening.
I see.
And interestingly, now that you're studying Vedic astrology or Jyotish, the nine planets or grahas, grabbers in Jyotish, are planetary lords of directions in Vastu.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is very handy because then you have many angles that you can approach rectifying.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so that I found very, very interesting and useful. So, for example, for the Northwest, the Northwest planetary lord is the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you can do is if there are problems in the Northwest, or if they're not problems that you're aware of, but you know your house was not precisely designed and built according to Vastu, then you would want to use these anyway. One of the main rectification tools in Vastu would be yantras or Vedic sacred geometry. So you could put a moon yantra at the height of your sixth chakra in the northwest. So that's one thing you could do. And like I said before, you know, that's predominantly air elements. So having a window that opens there would be a really handy thing. If there aren't any windows in your northwest, maybe you could add one if you're the homeowner. But that window would be a minor addition compared to some others that would be more important. And for that, we should talk about the cardinal directions, okay,
yeah,
and the secondary directions. So we have north, south, east, west.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, the front door and the face of the house faces a cardinal direction. But if you take a whole group of people and have them check it, hardly any of them will have that because homes are placed haphazardly in order to squeeze a lot of them in or to face streets that were already set up by a developer. They weren't sited to have the most benefits for the occupant. But ideally, the house is facing the cardinal directions. And there are different vibrational effects coming from different directions. The north and eastern energies are particularly nourishing and valuable, and you want them to reach your home. So there shouldn't be tall buildings or trees or walls directly up against your house on the north and east. Okay. Ideally, you have lots of windows or doors on the north and the east. If those are blocked, it's going to have a particular effect on you. So if you own the house and there's no windows on the north and east, and it's somewhere where you could place them, it would be really beneficial to add them because then you have those nourishing rays coming into the house. Rays that come from the south and the west are more harsh and can be damaging.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a house or apartment where the entire south or the entire west is blocked and there are no windows there, that's fine.
Mm.
If you have no trees protecting the house on those sides, then those harsh rays are coming into the house really strongly. And you're probably going to notice that fabrics are decaying very quickly and that a bright red rug has turned very pale pink over time because the sun has blasted it.
Yeah.
And so there, you know, what I suggest is UV window film, because that will cut 40% of the harsh rays that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And it also keeps the house much cooler.
Got it.
Okay. So there's things like that you can do. So the directions are really, really important.
Okay. So my last question, even though I could go on and on with this whole thing.
We could go on for days and days.
I know, and I'm going to take your course. So color, you in your book draw from various other sources, such as the chakras, Ayurveda, the Vedic astrology, and the five elements. So how are these different sources of color, or how do you approach it from Vastu, particularly those that may be interested in incorporating the right colors into the space to support the natural environment of the home as what Vastu preaches? And maybe that's not the right word, that Vastu encourages or enhances in our living spaces.
Okay, so color is a really powerful and personal thing. We're all attracted to some colors, and others we just don't like at all, or leave us cold. First of all, it's really important to listen to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a great story on that. There was a feng shui store in Colorado that had me come in as the consultant of the week. And so there was this day I came, and I could be there for her clients coming in. And this guy came in, and he was saying, oh, my wife and I hired this feng shui consultant, and she gave us very specific colors to use in all the rooms. And we really did like the colors, but we went ahead because she was the expert.
Right.
And we bought the paint, and we hired a professional painter and painted the whole house. And we do not like it. And I'm thinking, oh my God, people need to learn to trust themselves and their own intuition and preferences. And if they're told something, oh, do this, it'll be good for you, to question it and get a refinement on it. I mean, don't do this. This is why I share this story. Do not do this. If you've done it in the past, stop. Check in with yourself. If you don't like that particular shade of aquamarine that someone's suggesting, speak up saying, I just do not like pale pastel colors, or I don't like blues at all. Is there some other option?
Right.
So because of all these things, I like to give people a lot of choice. And basically, we want life-supporting colors.
Mm-hmm.
We want ones that are having a good effect on our nervous system and are going to be uplifting and healing, soothing, energizing, whatever is appropriate for our nervous systems and for that room and its usage.
I agree 100%.
Yes. So this is a really big thing. And so what I did in my book and in my courses and in my consulting practice is I break it down and give people options. One of the ways has to do with the planets. You know, you're studying astrology now. Each of those 9 influential celestial bodies or grahas has colors associated with it. And so let's say you have a debilitated sun in your Vedic astrology chart.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, what can I do from Vastu's side to help this? Well, one thing is the sun is the planetary lord of the east. And so if you have a blocked east where there's no windows, no openings coming into the space, you're going to want to do something about that if at all possible. And then you could think, oh, I could paint the walls or have furnishings or artwork that are in sun colors.
Ooh.
So that can help you a lot. You can create the effect of a sunlit room with paint. So you can use a warm, sunny colors, yellows, red, orange range, since that's what we associate with sunny. But you don't want to use a lot of red interior walls because it's very stimulating and not useful for most people for their homes.
Right. Yeah.
If someone is very, very sluggish, never gets out of bed, is kind of dragging through the whole day, never seems to wake up or take action, red would be a useful color, but it's not useful for most people for the whole room.
Oh, definitely not.
Because it's just a little much. Another thing you can do is you can, of course, use the yantras to bring in a yantra. And you can also stand in front of that yantra once a day and chant a mantra, a sound vibration that's associated with that planet, like the sun, so that you're in this gloriously sunny painted room and you're chanting a sun mantra and you're looking at a sun yantra that's on the wall. And all that is going to boost your debilitated or very weak sun in your chart. And you're going to have more self-esteem and confidence and be able to take your place in the world more.
Oh, I love
that. There's all these different angles you can take. So the color and the planets, I really like using that. And then the five elements, earth, air, fire, water, and space, which are so essential and integral to Vastu. So, for example, earth element is predominant in the southwest. That's ideally where we have our master bedroom. It's grounded, it's more settled and soothing. And so you could use earth colors there, earth tones associated with soil like brown, cinnamon, ochre, sienna, or greens are very good. So those kinds of colors would be good if you need to be more grounded, if you have trouble sleeping, you know, that those things will help you. Plus having the southwest bedroom, that's the ideal placement.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that. I know we're almost out of time, but I do want my listener to know how to get in touch with you.
Yes.
Where they can find you, your website, social media. Tell us more. How can we get to you and how can we get your book?
Okay. If you forget all of this, you can type in Sherry and Vastu and you'll find me, although you may find this podcast as well. Since we've got double Sherry on it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You have a serious dose of Sherry's here. Another way is on Instagram. You can go to Transcendence Design, which is my business name, TRANSCENDENCE Design, Transcendence Design. It's also on Facebook as Transcendence Design and on Threads as Transcendence Design. And then my website, strangely enough, is transcendencedesign.com. Okay. And there you will find how to hire me as a consultant for your home, how to get my book, how to learn about my courses and register for them, and how to find sacred space art for your home and inner temple art prints, which are all mine because I'm an artist as well. So all of that is there. And I hope that you will research into this and take advantage of this wonderful knowledge, which is there to improve your life.
Well, thank you so much. You are amazing. My attention was just really like, okay, so I'm kind of intersecting a lot of things that I'm learning and seeing all of these synchronicities and balances and connections with all of this. So I just want to say thank you for coming on Aligned Expressions. And I look forward to following you and taking your courses and learning more.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. And may all your aligned expressions be totally aligned with nature.
Awesome.